Of course it had to be done thoughtfully, with spaces left after the "to my noble client the," and so on, which he had to fill in later. But even deducting expenses, it still left him the best part of $30 for little more than one day's work a month. A young man without too many responsibilities could live modestly in Ankh-Morpork on $30 or $40 a month. He always sold the figs, because, although it was possible to live on figs, you soon wished you didn't. And there were always additional sums to be picked up here and there. The world of letters was a closed book, mysterious, papery object to many of Ankh-Morpork's citizens. But if they ever did need to commit things to paper, quite a few of them walked up the creaky stairs, past the sign, William de Word, Things Written Down. Dwarfs, for example. Dwarfs were always coming to seek work in the city, and the first thing they did was send a letter home saying how well they were doing. This was such a predictable occurrence, even if the dwarf in question was so far down on his luck that he'd been forced to eat his helmet, that William had Mr. Cripslock produce several dozen stock letters, which needed only a few spaces filled in to be perfectly acceptable. Fond dwarf parents all over the mountains treasured letters which looked something like this. Dear Moom and Dad, well, I arrived here all right, and I'm staying at 109 Cockbill Street, The Shades, Ankh-Morpork. Everything is fine. I have got a good job working for Mr. C.M.O.T. Dibbler, Merchant Venturer, and will be making lots of money really soon now. I am remembering all your good advice, and I am not drinking in bars or mixing with trolls. Well, that's about it. Must go now. Looking forward to seeing you and Emilia. Again, your loving son, Thomas Brokenbrow, who was usually swaying while he dictated it. It was 20p, easily made, and as an additional service, William carefully tailored the spelling to the client and allowed them to choose their own punctuation. On this particular evening, with the sleet gurgling in the downspouts outside his lodgings, William sat in the tiny office over the Guild of Conjurers and wrote carefully, half listening to the hopeless but painstaking catechism of the trainee conjurers at their evening class in the room below. Pay attention. Are you ready? Right. Egg, glass, egg, glass, the class droned listlessly. Glass, egg, glass, egg. Magic word, Fursam, just like that, ah-ha-ha-ha. Fursam, just like that, ah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. William pulled another sheet of paper towards him, sharpened a fresh quill, stared at the wall for a moment, and then wrote as follows. And finally, on the lighter side, it is being said that dwarfs can turn lead into gold, although no one knows whence the rumour comes, and dwarfs going about their lawful occasions in the city are hailed with cries such as, e.g., "Holla, short stuff, let's see you make some gold then." Although only newcomers do this, because all here know what happens if you call a dwarf short stuff, viz., you are dead. Your obedient servant, William de Word. He always liked to finish his letters on a happy note. He fetched a sheet of boxwood, lit another candle, and laid the letter face down on the wood. A quick rub with the back of a spoon transferred the ink, and $30 and enough figs to make you really ill were as good as in the bank. He'd drop it into Mr. Cripslock tonight, pick up the copies after a leisurely lunch tomorrow, and with any luck, should have them all away by the middle of the week. William put on his coat, wrapped the wood block carefully in some waxed paper, and stepped out into the freezing night. The world is made up of four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. That is a fact well known even to Corporal Nobbs. It's also wrong. There's a fifth element, and generally, it's called surprise. For example, the dwarfs found out how to turn lead into gold by doing it the hard way. The difference between that and the easy way is that the hard way works. The dwarfs dwarf-handled their overloaded, creaking cart along the street, peering ahead in fog. Ice formed on the cart and hung from their beards. All it needed was one frozen puddle. Good old Dame Fortune, you can depend on her. The fog closed in, making every light a dim glow and muffling all sounds. It was clear to Sergeant Colon and Corporal Nobbs that no barbarian horde would be including the invasion of Ankh-Morpork in their travel plans for this evening. The watchman didn't blame them.